Seated. Let us pray. O gracious and holy God, thank you once again for opening the scriptures to all of us. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you, for you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Through the years, I have heard many people say, you know, I have experienced a holy moment. And some people say, I have experienced a God moment. Or I have been in a moment where it's unspeakable, and the only way I can describe it is the presence of the living God. It is at this particular time that you want to be in the story. You want to live the story. And you really want to capture the very essence of that story. God's presence, God speaking, the presence of holiness. It was really the one that attracted the attention of Peter and James and John. What I find interesting in the gospel was that they were overwhelmed with sleep, but they were able to receive or see for themselves the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus, because they were awake, attuned, alert to the possibility of what God has to offer, they were able to see the bling of Christ, as they say, the dazzling image of Christ white on Mount Hermon. It's also interesting to note that three important figures in the life of the people of Israel were there: Elijah, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, and Moses. We know the story of Moses, who led the people out of captivity. And Jesus. They were front and center. So Peter offered a response never heard of again in any of the biblical sources that we have. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, can we make three booths or tabernacles or three dwelling places for you? You see, booth or tabernacles is very important for the people of Israel. Sometimes it is called the Feast of Sukkoth or the Feast of Tabernacles. It is very important for the people of Israel because this was a mandatory memorial for the people of Israel to remember what God had done for them in the wilderness. So because Peter had nothing else to say, he was caught up in the holiness of this moment. All he had to say is simply, Lord, can we make three dwelling places for you? So in other words, can we capture this moment for you? Can we put you in these dwelling places so that we can come to you from wherever we are again and again? And we know that the reply of Peter was one of nervousness. Lord, it is good for us to be here. And I think Peter was a very practical disciple because he wanted to capture the moment, because Jesus was really on the road to Jerusalem. But Jesus is saying, my time has not yet come. You cannot force the kingdom of God to happen. But Peter was trying to force the kingdom of heaven to happen. You see, there's an older prophecy in the book of Zechariah where it says, all nations will come at the end of times when the reign of the prophet or when the reign of God, the Messiah, comes about. But Peter could not understand this. You know, all of a sudden in that holy situation, there was another voice that came. It's a familiar voice. The voice of God. They heard it before. They heard it at the river Jordan. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine that? They didn't get it at the river Jordan. They did not get it at the mountaintop experience. And the only other place where they heard the voice of God again was after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in other words, there is a hardness of heart and it is a stumbling block to receive the goodness of God. You know, yesterday we were at the laity convocation, and the speaker spoke about encountering God in the marrow of our bones. And when I look at the marrow of our bones, I read that the bone marrow makes more than 200 billion new blood cells every day. And so when we think about the marrow of our bones, according to my understanding and the way the presenter presented itself, God is with us in our very being. It is our capacity to receive this essential life force for us to live daily. And so Peter, right there in that holy mountain, was receiving the marrow of God, the new vision. But you know, he cannot force it to happen. He wanted to see the kingdom of God in his own limited terms. I look at this lesson, and I think it resonates for the life of the church. The movement of ministry finds its way through the different patterns of our faithfulness. We hear about our mission. We hear about the many things that we do. We hear about stories. What we do in the life of the church affects one another. Just because we want it to happen, you know, right now, does not mean it's beneficial to all of us. Just because, oh, we want it in a certain way, on a certain path of discipleship, doesn't mean everybody is amenable or acceptable to that kind of direction. I like the idea of working the angles. I am not a woodworker. I'm not a carpenter. I can hammer nails, but most of the time it gets bent after a couple of times. But I have a plane that I used to have. And I know that when the wood is not level or rough, you know, I can always plane it. Sometimes I can plane it to extinction. I know. Until I discovered humidity, or humidity discovered me. You know, I found out when something is crooked, you know, I have a tendency, okay, let me plane that, it will even out. Until humidity rediscovered me, and after a while it comes back into place if I don't touch it. If I touch it, then that's when the problem begins. If I push it, that piece of wood or door will not fit the way it should. So don't worry about it, trustees. I've done my part. I succumb to the whole idea of waiting. But you see, when our lives, our own individual lives, demonstrate intimacy with Christ, we are inspired. There is joy. There is a blessing. And so Peter was caught up in this moment. I love the scripture where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." And we can add the hallelujah if you want it at that part. But you see, we live in a world, and you know, as the district superintendent says, when she turns on the news, she wants to turn it off, you know, right away. But there is always a tipping point when, you know, you don't want to hear, taste, experience the culture today. But our lives are marked by peaks and valleys, connected ways. So Peter started to connect with one another. But there's only one way for him to be connected, by putting God in a particular place, in a particular box. But on this Transfiguration Sunday, Christ is revealed in a new light, in a new light. Discipleship without the cross is not really discipleship. Faithfulness without accepting Christ is not really faithfulness. Commitment to God and to the church without taking an inventory of how God relates to us may be good for our own well-being, but it doesn't spark joy. It doesn't give us that moment of glory. But thanks be to God for the way in which the scripture shapes the many contours
the many angles of our lives. Amen.